You're listening to Work Tape, episode 132.
Welcome to another edition of the Work Tape podcast. It's your boy, Money Mitchell, Isaac Groovin Grover.
What's up, guys?
It's a Super Bowl Sunday edition of the Work Tape podcast, and if you haven't heard yet, you will. The Chiefs pulled it off, so the Swifties are going to be rejoicing.
Who are you rooting for?
I wanted to see the Chiefs lose. I'm not a Niners fan. That's more my dad's thing, but I definitely wanted to see the Chiefs lose. So in this instance, I was going for the Niners, mostly just because I can't stand the Chiefs, number one. I'm a Chargers fan, so lots of pain there.
There you go.
And also this whole attention that Taylor brought to it, I was kind of like, I wanted, you know, that I wanted them to be like upset, but fortunately that didn't happen. And people are going to say like, oh, you know, she should get a ring or whatever. And I'm like, no, that's ridiculous.
No, but one of those boys should get a ring.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Kelsey's going to get the ring, but
yeah.
Speaking of Taylor Swift, the Grammys happened last week on this very day, and Taylor won big. As a matter of fact, I believe she set a Grammy record for the most amount of album of the year wins. Did she actually surpass Stevie Wonder in that respect?
To be honest, at the top of my head, I do not know.
I think she might have, because they said that she set a Grammy's record with album of the year. Let me see. Oh, yes, she did. Most album of the year wins. Really? Wait, okay, hold on a second. Let me check this. Because I think Stevie held that record for a long time, because there was a period of time where he won like every single year. Oh, he only won three times. Oh, she did break the record. Oh my gosh. It really? I'm sorry. That makes me even a little bit more upset. I mean, and look, I'm not going to come at it from, this isn't the Taylor Swift hating hour. It's not like I, you know, despise her as a person, or I think, or I wish any ill will or anything like that. I just think that the music is kind of so mid in a lot of ways. It's just kind of relatively inoffensive and just not as really exciting.
It's safe, like you said. It doesn't really push anything. It just kind of is content. It's complacent.
Right. Which, you know, because of that, it's still continuing to serve her well, because it's accessible and, you know, middle America, you know, likes a lot of her music and whatnot. And that's cool. If that's your vibe, I'm not going to, you know, completely discredit that. But I just think that, especially when you saw kind of what it was up against for this year, it won over the SZA record, it won over the Lana Del Rey record. And for my subjective comparison, I think those were a lot more exciting.
But that was a very predictable win nonetheless, because of, you know.
For sure. As soon as I saw that she was up for it, I was kind of like, there's a very good shot that it's going to happen. I mean, she won over Kendrick Lamar, okay, you know, with To Pimp a Butterfly, which is, in my opinion, one of the best albums ever made, and is kind of almost a modern day What's Going On in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you're right. That is a pretty good parallel.
And she won over that. So I'm kind of like, yeah, it was kind of an obvious pick. Surprisingly enough, Olivia Rodrigo did not win a single Grammy.
That was very surprising. Yeah.
That is extremely surprising. Not to say that, like, oh, I was particularly upset or anything.
No, but you and I were expecting her to get one, you know? So
I was, yes. I expected her to get at least, like, you know, maybe record of the year, or, you know, at least maybe something for pop vocal performance or something like along those lines, or, you know, maybe even her producer getting something, but nothing, zero, zilch, nada. It's almost kind of like they gave her the awards for driver's license and were kind of like, that's it. That's it for now.
Yeah.
And I guess in part, maybe it makes sense because the Guts record was kind of more of the same, as I was kind of pointing out. It was kind of a continuation. So maybe that's why the Recording Academy was not as on top of it. That, and I also think with Taylor and SZA being in a lot of those same categories, which SZA did win some Grammys, which I was happy to see, because I think out of really all of the like big contenders, I think SZA had some of the best stuff. I'm just going to be really honest. I mean, the Lana record was pretty good too, from the bits that I've heard of it. The Lana record was like making people cry, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and of course she has that kind of effect, but I was glad to see SZA win at least, like, you know, in the R&B categories and whatnot. Oh, Victoria Monet won in the R&B category as well. Love to see that. One of the biggest surprises was actually in the hip hop category, though. Killer Mike sweeping pretty much all of the big categories in rap, from Rap Album of the Year, Rap Song. I mean, you know, he won over Nas. He won over Metro Boomin. And of course, the biggest one that people talked about was he won over Travis. But I think that people are still a bit upset with Travis regarding Astroworld. So maybe they're not quite ready to give that man some awards yet. Paramore won Rock Album or Alternative. Yeah, no, they won Rock Album. Yes.
Yeah, the Rock Album. Mm-hmm.
Which it makes a ton of sense. Actually, that Foo Fighters record was pretty solid. And actually, like, Queens of the Stone Age wasn't bad either. So actually, kind of tight. You had a Greta record in there, but listeners of this podcast know how we feel about Greta Van Fleet. And then there was a Metallica record in there as well. Honestly, a little surprised that Arctic Monkeys were up as well, and they didn't win anything either, which kind of
is a little
shocking.
A little bit.
I mean, they kind of have that like lounge sound that people.
I'm fine with it. I think they got overblown, but again, that's just me.
Well, I think with like Tranquility Base Hotel Casino, like that was kind of a cool album, but they continued it with The Car. And I think that's kind of like, I think it overstayed its welcome, because it's like, how many times are you going to hear like Alex Turner say, "I'd like to be your microwave"?
Exactly.
Gonna heat me up. You know, take a lot of these like objects and stuff and you know, try to make it sound sexy or whatever.
Maybe if they go back to Second and see, we will see what happens.
Yeah, I feel like that's a very much a lyric that I would hear in a modern Arctic Monkey song about how he's about the chick is gonna make him feel like a microwave oven and keeping him toasty. And stuff like that.
The croony people.
And then Miley Cyrus with Record of the Year with Flowers.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that for sure. Because I didn't watch it. I had to kind of read up on it.
Yeah, people were a little... I mean, some people were very happy with that based on, you know, the fact that Miley's having... Miley actually has a bit of like new cred as like kind of a rock singer. Because with like that last record... And I think she did like the Metallica cover, which garnered like a lot of fans that maybe would have not gotten into her in a lot of other respects. But let me be honest, that Flower song was a total rip of the Bruno joint. And that's not a problem per se that she like, you know, took that and made something new. But to not even credit him as a songwriter, I'm kind of like, it just doesn't quite sit with me.
You know, What Was I Made For? Honestly, I really like that track.
Yeah.
I loved that track.
Yeah, that was definitely well-deserved.
I agree. Yeah.
That was for sure well-deserved.
And I watched the movie. I'm assuming you watched the movie as well, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was perfect. I don't always love everything that Billie does, but when she does something that I really connect with, she just does it.
No, I think there's a good point there. I think when she's in that ballad bag, I think that's when she really shines.
She owns it.
Yeah, she's really a balladeer.
She's kind of like John Legend. You know what I mean? Like, there's this thing she draws out of you.
Sure.
I think that her and John Legend are just, you know,
sure.
you get what I'm saying, that ballad.
Yeah. The more kind of like stripped back, like minimal production, like just the voice, the lyric, and usually either piano, some atmosphere, maybe some strings. I think there was some strings on that Barbie track.
Yeah, that's my favorite iteration of Billie, to be honest.
I think at one point we said that she's kind of also like, in a way, a generational Cobain for some people too, where it's like, technically, she's not like the all-time greatest singer, but like the way that she can convey the lyrics, the vocalization, the kind of angst, the way that she sings is kind of similar. And a lot of people felt, I think, the same way about like Kurt too, especially with like the Unplugged performance.
Oh, and basically the whole Unplugged performance, I think, is categorized by like dumb. I think it's that kind of emotional, vulnerable tone that both of them convey.
Yeah.
For sure, dumb, I think, is one of the more...
Yeah.
I mean, I know Something in the Way does it as well, but dumb seems to really get Kurt at his most vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when Billie entertains that cold, icy sound,
yeah,
that is for sure her at her best.
Yeah, absolutely. I think she's up for an Oscar for that, which I think she may also win, especially just because of how the song hits. You know, so she could actually be an Oscar winner at the end of this year as well.
She would do well in the adult alternative space, just saying.
Yeah, definitely so. One that I was kind of a little bit eh with, Antonoff won Producer of the Year.
We talked about this.
I would say mostly, oh, he did the Lana record and the Midnight's record.
Yeah, he was spreading it around, you know, so he can get more chances.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that explains it. He also did the 1975 record, which I think I liked some of the stuff on that. I know a lot of people didn't. I know some people thought that he kind of bogged down the 1975, but I don't know. Maybe Matt Healy kind of does that his own self because he's a little odd. He's just a little bit of an odd guy. But I was kind of shocked that Antonoff won over Metro Boomin, who had a huge year. And then also Hit Boy and over Danny, Olivia's producer, like kind of a little surprised. But I mean, if Antonoff was behind both the Lana record and the Taylor record, both of which were up for a ton of awards, that doesn't like really surprise me. I didn't know that he was actually behind the Lana record until I was just revisiting the stuff. So that was kind of the one that was a little interesting, but that basically covers it for the major categories.
Oh, I have to say this.
Okay.
A little unrelated, but this is because we had implied that they didn't make it. Tom and Ben made the 16th spot in the Hot 100.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, they did. I know. I was surprised as well. Now, it's not a number one.
Oh, no.
But that's not too shabby. And that's Ben's debut.
Yeah. I mean, that's... Yeah, there's people who like work for their entire careers who don't even get in the top 20. And then here comes Ben Shapiro in 16, which is crazy. I mean, if they actually crack the top 10 or even more so the top 5, that's going to be, I don't know. That chaos may ensue if that happens.
I think so. Hitler's rolling in his grave.
Oh yes. And then all these people who got like canceled or got like thrown under the rug because of their political views or something are going to be like, I have a chance now.
But speaking of Hitler, there's Kanye.
Right, exactly. That's a great segue into that.
I didn't want to let that one go.
No, that's fantastic. That's a great segue. Yeah, Kanye finally dropped, which, of course, it's always news when Kanye drops. And there was word of it being potentially delayed once more. But he actually did it. He finally put it out, of course, under his own label, the Yeezy label, because I think in terms of him, despite being one of the biggest names in music, he's kind of like a musical leper. in the sense that I feel like no record label kind of wants any part of him because of the controversy. So he's just going to release it himself. I got a chance to listen to a good chunk of it. And there's some highlights. Let me see. Let me look at a track listing. Oh, yeah. Burn is like the shortest song on the record, but is actually like pretty good. It's kind of like very summery.
Is it shorter than Follow God?
Yes. It's the Burn song is only like is less than 2 minutes. Like, it's very short. And it's kind of a shame because I'm like, if that song would have been longer, I probably would have been more about it. And then let's see. Some of the other highlights. Beg Forgiveness is really good. There's also Paperwork is a pretty decent track. The big one is Carnival, which has Playboi Carti on it. He's like red hot right now, you know, pun intended, with like the whole lot of red. I'm not really the biggest Carti person. I know people who are, but I'm not.
Everyone else, pretty much.
Yeah, I'm not really the biggest fan of his particular brand of hip hop. I mean, I understand that it kind of has a bit of like a punk energy. There's some like kind of like rock, you know, distorted type of influences, maybe a little Death Grips type influence too, just because it's kind of abrasive in comparison to a lot of hip hop. It's just never been my thing. But the Carnival track is actually pretty good as well. He's got a lot of great producers on this, like No ID and Timbaland and James Blake, man. James Blake has been actually in a lot of hip hop production as of recent, which is dope. And then, of course, there's Talking, which has a Northwest feature on it and a rap. And
yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, for her first time up, it's not bad. Let me say this. I would much rather listen to Northwest than anything from Yeet.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I would listen to a whole record of Northwest over Yeet any day of the week. I mean, but it's kind of like, you know, kid's first rap or whatever, because, you know, there's bars in there like, it's your bestie, Miss Westie.
I mean, you can't blame a kid for trying, or whoever wrote it for them.
Yeah, but I mean, she probably wrote it, actually, because, I mean, there's clips that have surfaced where she very much takes after Ye in terms of kind of like personality and whatnot. And I think that's pretty nice, you know, to have her as the feature on there. Unlike, you know, Drake for a long time, who kind of hid his kid from the, you know, public knowledge. It took Pusha T to make Drake become a father. because that's what happened, is like he was kind of like keeping like the kid like out of things. And then Pusha T called him out on that diss track. And then he's like, well, now I have to kind of be like a father. And now I have to, you know, step up. Which I guess is a positive in a big way. And Adonis has a verse too, I think, on For All of the Dogs, which was, I think I've heard his verse too, and it wasn't great. Actually, I think the Northwest one was a lot more entertaining in terms of rappers' kids getting on hip-hop tracks, which kind of goes into what we've talked about in regards to industry nepotism. Blue Ivy has gotten into like things as well. I want to say she's on some tracks. She was like really big on the Renaissance tour that Beyonce did too. So there's definitely like some nepotism in there. Obviously at this point, it's like very hard to tell if any of them are going to be like musically as great, or I say great kind of with air quotes, because I don't know if I would say that like Drake has been great as recent.
No.
Although the expanded version of For All the Dogs, which had kind of like the Scary Hours tracks, which had a lot of production from like Conductor Williams and like Alchemist, actually some of those were pretty good. And that's the thing too, kind of connecting back to Billy and more of like the stripped down production. I feel like Drake is kind of at the best when he is kind of just rapping over like those soul beats. Like he kind of takes those soulful beats, usually without drums, and he's just kind of spitting over them.
I think that's the best Drake, or at least one of the best Drakes for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say one, because I would also say that one of the best sides is when he really gets into like the kind of moody R&B bag as well, like on, you know, a Marvin's Room. Or a From Time or Jungle even, where he kind of has the singing and the rapping and is kind of, you know, talking about his lady problems. Oh, did you hear about that video that got leaked of him too?
Honestly, I don't think so.
There was a video that got leaked of him in the cleanest way possible, enjoying himself on an airplane.
That's a bit seriously.
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds like a joke.
No, it's not.
That really sounds like a joke.
I guarantee you it's not. Because he even came out and said, I think this tweet may have been a tweet, but I think he said, "Geez Louise," and it plays into the whole thing of Drake is the type of guy to say, "Geez Louise," or he'll say, "Here comes the tickle monster to his homie."
And that's about as NSFW will be on here.
Right, or something like that. I mean, but even that is, I mean, I kept it very clean, even.
No, you did. That was quite a curveball. That's probably why I haven't heard of it, because
Well, yeah, but it happened. It was kind of a brief thing, but there was a bunch of meat that came out of it. Mostly it was like guys saying, "Oh, well, great. Now I can't compete, basically. now I can't do anything." I mean, you know, there's these types of things like Drake is the type of guy to say, "We've got good company when the cops arrive." Drake's the type of guy to say, "Wow, I needed this while out with his friend." It's just like, Drake is the type of guy to lose his TV remote and say, "If I was the remote, where would I be?" That's so good. It's so good. But you know, the thing is like, I think I saw some video where like, he's actually aware of the memes. Him and Taylor are actually kind of similar in the respect that like you catch them like out and about or something, and they're actually aware of like the internet's perception of them. And a lot of times they'll actually like kind of play into it.
So they're in a cool category of people where they're like, they're chill.
Well, yeah. Like if I had the opportunity just to kind of like hang out with Drake, like, yeah, because he's probably going to pay for everything or not have to pay for anything.
True.
And you just have like, you know, drinks on like a ocean view somewhere. And the only thing I'd have to tolerate on with Drake is his zestiness, I guess. But not to say there's anything wrong with zestiness, but it's just, you know, that's just part of his thing now. And I'm not even sure if that's really like the real him or if he's kind of playing it up because, you know, has that kind of reputation for being like kind of viewed as like soft or like sensitive. And so he's like kind of just embracing it instead of like trying to push back against it, which I'll give some credit for. And like same thing with Taylor too, because I think even at the game, you know, she was aware of like the drinking games where every time they showed her on screen, people would be taking shots or something and had some sort of play on that. So in a way, I give them a lot of credit for like, you know, at least
playing it up,
embracing and kind of flipping it around, you know, as opposed to lots of folks who just can't really tolerate much of any criticism or kind of will double down on it and make it even worse Kanye, excuse me. I mean, like, you know, yay or something will kind of like double down on it. He won't like embrace it per se.
No, he won't. He'll like leave a podcast in the middle of it.
Yeah, he'll just like take it even further. Oh, yeah. Like all the podcasts where he showed up with like the what looked like a sock or something on his head or something where he's not even like showing his face anymore. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Like just ridiculous. But so the Kanye album, in comparison to the rest of it, very mid. I mean, some of the songs might grow on me, but I think I liked Donda 1 a lot better. It was more polished. It came from like a better place, I think. I feel like Donda 1 was like the last time that like I really enjoyed Kanye. And Donda 2, we talked about with like the whole half-finished album being sold for like $200 with his stem player.
I can't believe that happened.
And then now this, which is kind of like an installment. It's one of three, supposedly, which I'm like, oh gosh. I don't know if I can do this, but that's kind of been this last week. A lot of stuff has been going on. One thing that we're going to be looking out for as well is the UMG situation. We'll see if UMG sticks to their guns at this point, because so far they have, but who's to say if it's going to continue?
That'll be the question.
Yeah, and that's going to be a huge question. There's a rumor that is going around that TikTok, I guess, is going to drop their own music service. And that's in part maybe why this whole UMG drama got started. But only time will tell. And we'll probably cover that a little bit more next time around and next week. This has been the Worktape Podcast. Lenny Mitchell, Isaac Ruben Grover. Stay hydrated. Be good to everybody. Peace.
Peace.